go. I read it.
See you, Holmes. Good job.
Did a great job.
Okay.
Awesome. Recollect tomorrow.
See you, John.
All right. Good job today, Tommy.
So I read that you have a lot of experience. What drew you to this particular musical?
This show, well, I love the game. Mm-hmm. I've always loved the game. I'm a big Yankee fan, actually.
Oh,
and
you have the cap.
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course. I actually think there's two things, there's two messages that this show drives home that I think are really special. I mean, besides it's a fun show, it's a fun, exciting show.
Mm-hmm.
But there's two messages that this show drives home that I think are so poignant. One is that as thrilling as our childhood dreams are, and as thrilling as fame and fortune could be, they're never as satisfying at the end of the day as domestic peace and solidity and the warmth that you have there. And the second one is that any baseball season that does not end with the New York Yankees winning the pennant must be the work of the devil, which is a firm belief of mine. So that,
This
one is totally fine.
Yeah,
this is a very holy year.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you generally prefer straight plays or musicals?
You know, I like them both. Mm-hmm. I did mostly musicals in high school and stuff, but then starting in around college, I branched out, and in my professional career, I've done both. So I love both for different reasons.
What's your tessitura? I think that's what it's called, right?
What's that?
Tessitura.
I'm sorry. I've heard that term, but I'm not sure what it means.
Baritone bass.
Oh yeah, I'm a baritone, pretty much.
Baritone. Okay. Yeah. Any specific kind of baritone? Are there specific kinds of baritone?
Well, basically, baritone is somewhere between tenor and bass.
Oh, I thought there were specific kinds of baritones. Like there are specific.
Not that I know of.
Okay, so I'll just try baritone. That's fine. All right. How did you prepare for Applegate?
I actually, it's interesting. I don't know if I believe in the devil, but for the sake of the role, you take a look at it. Yeah, and basically, I did a bunch of research online, and I did a bunch of research just into different conceptions of the devil.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things I found was interesting was I had always heard that the devil sometimes was cast out of heaven because he refused to prostrate himself before God.
Mm.
But actually, it's also that he refused to prostrate himself before Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And that Lucifer was the chief judge of the holy court in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And he would prosecute people and be like, oh, this is what you did, you did this, you did this. And basically he would say, okay, God, punish him. And my idea behind this was, his beef is not with God, it's with man.
Mm-hmm.
And that he what he thinks God is doing wrong is that he's forgiving him.
Mm-hmm.
God took a man who's imperfect and selfish and nasty, brutish, and short, and all these things, and put him on this pedestal.
And
mess up their whole lives and then get forgiven.
Uh-huh.
And so he says, no, I've been cast into the darkness, I am going to bring them into the darkness.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to find what do they want so badly that they will put aside their principles and put aside the hereafter for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks everyone has their price. And this is why he's totally befuddled by Joe Arden.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks everyone has their price. So.
Well, your Applegate was incredibly charming.
Thank you.
What made you choose to make him charming?
You know what? Because I think...
Good job.
Because I think the devil knows he needs to be charming to be successful.
That's a very valid point.
That, basically he is the head of the largest pyramid scheme in the history of creation. He was cast into Misery alone, and Misery loves company. He decided to pull one person at a time into this darkness. Now, he pulls someone in. He gets them.
Right.
He puts them through one day of hell, and then he says,
right?
You want a life? You want an eternity of this, or you want to work for me? And of course, they'll choose to work for him. And then they have to grab more people. And those people have to grab more people. Those people have to grab more people.
Like a parent team, like you said.
And so that salesman mentality, he is always pitching.
Right.
And this is why he's so charming. He's trying to connect with everyone, even though every single person he meets, he is disgusted by. Because he's very prideful. That was his sin. He's proud. He's very proud. And he thinks all of you are worthless. But he's going to let you think that you're the greatest thing in the world, and you know what? I've got something that's going to make you happy, and here it is, and then got you, and now I will give you the misery that you deserve. Because basically that's his take, is you all deserve misery because you're nasty and selfish.
Do you have any contributions to the role? Like lines or gestures or anything?
Yeah. There were a few things that I threw in that were not, like, certainly the gestures are all just kind of come from
the actor.
Yeah, just what they, like, they don't tell me what to do at any given moment, like the way I transform them or the way I shake them or anything. This was actually in the script.
Okay.
But any of the
one
other
thing with that?
That was my question.
Really? That's great. I didn't know that. That's fantastic. I was positive that was in the script.
Really?
Yeah.
There were a few other things, like the actually this guy. Uh-huh. This guy made a contribution, and I have to say this. When the line "Dreaming of the electric chair,"
I love that line.
some people found it shocking. That's all in the that's in the script. But then the boo we added in, and he added in "Go to heaven." He
oh, I like
that
"Go
one.
To heaven" also. Yeah. You know, those are the two of my favorite lines. You guys
cool.
added two of my favorite lines. I actually even wrote them down.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We have a rivalry.
Yes. Me and him alone, because he can see that I'm no good.
Olga Pickman, writing for Review Fix.
Good. So it's that's what's fun is there's, you know, they give you a lot to work with.
Uh-huh.
You know, the writers give you a lot to work with, the director gives you something to work with, and then it's all your impulses.
Uh-huh.
And it's a balance. You don't want to take your impulses so far that they stray away from what...
Olga.
Olga
Friedman.
Olga.
Nice
to meet
you, Anthony.
Nice to meet
you, Anthony.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Are you going to die or anything? Or
you got okay, no problem.
I'm going home.
No problem, dude. I'll see you tomorrow.
Break a leg tomorrow.
What was I going to say? It's a balance. You don't want to stray so far that you're betraying the author or the director. But within that, you have all this freedom to kind of do what you want to do. And Dawn is a very liberating director. She like watches what you do and just kind of adjusts it. There are also directors who will say, "Hey, your head this way, your hand this way." You know, you're very controlling. She's not that way at all, which is nice. Gives you a lot of freedom, you know, to.
That's very nice.
Which is great.
Do you find that? Did you have other experiences where directors are very domineering?
Sometimes, not here, but other places there are directors who are very, you know, kind of treat you a little like a robot, but. And it's a challenge as an actor to be ready to work with any kind of director. Dawn is very liberating. She'll give you a few ideas, see how you run with them, and basically, if you do something new, she likes it, she keeps it.
Okay.
If not, she'll let you know, and you take it out, and you do something else, and, you know, but she's very, very individually based,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Have you done anything in cinema?
A little bit, yeah. I did Disney's When in Rome, which is coming out soon, with Kristen Bell and
is
David.
Is that animated or a feature?
It's a feature. Yeah. And,
very cool. Congratulations.
Thank you. No, it's yeah. It's
exciting.
Should be really exciting. And then they what else? Any other? I've done some TV.
Mm-hmm.
I've done Law and Order.
Mm-hmm.
CSI.
Mm-hmm.
Chappelle Show, stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, so
that's very cool.
So it's cool. I like both.
What kind of acting thing you prefer?
You know, like I guess I'd have to say theater because I've done so much more of it.
Mm-hmm.
But
you get that immediate response.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. And but you know what? I like the TV and movies too.
Mm-hmm.
It's I like having that challenge also. You know.
You've been with Narrows for a while, right? A
couple years, yeah.
Are you going to stay with Narrows? Are you going to be in the spring show and?
I'm not 100% sure about the spring shows, but I quite possibly. Oh, thank you. And I definitely will.
What's your name?
Is going to continue to teach me that my acting school, the Act Out acting school.
Tell me about your acting.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the interest. I started it a few years ago, the fall of 2007, actually, music now. And I run classes for kids and classes for adults.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, basically the adult class is just teaching them how to be kids. But a lot of it, it's very individually based. I start with a lot of improv, getting people to get their impulses working and like open up and not to be so concerned about decorum. This lady knows. This is one of my students right here. Yeah, you know, there's like not to be so concerned with decorum, to honor the impulse inside them, and then